Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You've probably heard the term workforce development enough this session to have some strong ideas of your own about job opportunities and business in the state. Scott Stern serves as the Commissioner of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. He's a member of the Governor's Executive Committee. He's a Freeman native and a graduate of the University of South Dakota. For 29 years, he worked with Stern Oil Company of Freeman, including 14 years as Vice President and General Manager. He was appointed by Governor Dugard in 2016, and he joins us now on the phone from Pierce. Secretary Stern, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, we have not had you on before, so let's start with an overview of what the Governor's Office of Economic Development actually does. What's all under the umbrella?
Well, you know, the primary mission is to grow the state's gross domestic product, diversify the tax base of the constituents in the state, and then finally to maintain and improve our quality of life. So that's really the mission of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. And there's a whole host of programs and resources to support that mission.
And as we look at the 2018 legislative session, give us an idea of how you approach the start of a new session from a legislative priority standpoint. Is that a significant time for the work that you're doing?
You know, it does demand some time. Our agency is not as active in the legislative process as many other agencies because we're not impacted by as many bills and funding resources. We're a really very small agency in the scheme of general fund demands. So we tend to keep our nose to the grindstone and focus on initiatives to help our existing businesses in the state grow and attract new businesses into the state.
And how are we doing? Because what we continue to hear is, tax revenues are not quite what we wish they would be, not holding up to, the projections. It's a tough time for the state economy.
Well, I would say yes and no. The taxes have risen, rather slowly, but they have increased. But, there's a number of things that are impacting that. I think the buying behaviors of our constituents have changed, which has dictated utilization of, retail entities like Amazon, which historically have not been taxed. Although Amazon has agreed to a voluntary tax, but it doesn't apply to third-party sellers. So some of that leakage has taken place. Second of all, we've seen that there is additional demands, with respect to other required costs that families incur. For example, health insurance costs have gone up, and that's kind of an above-the-line requirement. Though they have to pay for those before they can purchase, some retail items. So that's impacted sales tax. But generally, the state's gross domestic product has outperformed many other states in the nation. In fact, I think we're 10th or 11th. If you would go back and track our gross domestic product GDP over the last 10 years, South Dakota has really outpaced many other states.
What is that looking at? Give us an idea of what, that's everything that we manufacture, that's everything, what's all included in the state's GDP?
So the gross domestic product is really captures all of the products and services that are consumed and utilized in the state. So everything from naturally retail purchases to, hotels and other services, of healthcare services and things of that nature.
Okay. Little economics 101 so that everybody's on the same page with us. So give me an idea of what's going really well in the state as far as incentives and, business development.
We're seeing really a significant emphasis in a few areas. One, the value-added agriculture piece. We've seen some really remarkable investments that are taking place in South Dakota. For example, Aberdeen, AGP, we had the groundbreaking for their soybean processing plant just this last spring. And that plant, when it's fully operational, has the capacity to consume 20% of the entire state's soybean crop. So that's going to be a big benefit to the farm and ag economy in South Dakota. Along those same lines, the governor just announced we were supportive and inked a opportunity for Agripeer to expand in Lake Norton. And that milk and cheese processing facility is going to triple their capacity. And what that means is it's a $252 million expansion. But more importantly, the demand it's going to create for milk in and around the state is going to create an additional demand for 90,000 dairy cows here in the Midwest just to support that production in that plant. And then we could go to numerous other expansions. In Beersford, Hybrid Genetics is a company that came over from the Netherlands, and they're going to hatch 35 million turkeys a year in Beersford. As well as we were fortunate talking about Beersford, ComCentury, a company in China, is going to build a plastic injection molded platform. So we just had a number of these types of things, 42 overall in 2017, that were expansions and growth of business and manufacturing and value-added ag entities in the state in 2017.
Hmm. So when we talk about diversifying the tax base, give us a little education on what that means and how some of these businesses fit into that or don't fit into the notion of a diversified tax base.
Well, the idea there is if we can, bring some, take a rural community, if we can bring some manufacturing base to that community, it has the capacity to tax that infrastructure from a real estate perspective. So versus relying on strictly ag or potentially just ag tax base, now you have a stronger commercial tax base that can support additional schools and county and city infrastructure. So we want to try to grow with or provide those types of expansions to diversify the tax base. In many cases, it may be relying on one or two industries.
So when we talk, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio, my guest, Secretary Scott Stern, with Economic Development. And Secretary Stern, when we talk about, manufacturing facilities and these, expansions, obviously the next question is workforce development, and where do some of the workers come from to support the businesses who do want to operate in South Dakota or expand in South Dakota?
Great question. We know that there's kind of the workforce expansion is kind of a finite number. So I've described it as many times we have to look for the second right answer is if we can't find adequate quantities of people, is really what can we do to expand the production capacity? And that's really what we're after is how can we increase the production? So let me give you one example. There was a client that we had down in southeast South Dakota that had turned away about $60 million in production capacity at their manufacturing plant. And it was all about, couldn't find the workers. So we engaged a resource that we had available to do some analysis on their production capacity. And what we were able to find was there was a manufacturing system out there and uses robotic technology that could replace four workers on their staff that were doing nothing but cutting steel. And this could all be done robotically. Now those four workers could be moved into an assembly line environment, and that one machine will replace what those four workers were doing. So as I describe it, in many cases, it's not a worker, but it's a different skill worker, and in its alternative production that's going to solve this problem because we truly do have a finite quantity of workers, and this is a challenge that every other state's facing also. So we have to be creative in our solutions and how we can increase and maintain that production capacity for these manufacturers.
What are we learning from other states? Do you travel much across the nation and sort of plug in to what's going well in other places or what could be applied to business in South Dakota, to economic development in South Dakota?
I do occasionally, although I would say that, my staff probably spends more time out of state engaging with clients in engaging with other states, and they bring some of those resources and information and pieces back, and then we build on some of those successes and modify it and tweak it to make it beneficial to South Dakota's businesses.
You mentioned earlier, Amazon and sales tax. How closely are you watching then South Dakota v. Wayfair on its way to the United States Supreme Court?
Naturally, I watch it of interest. It's not our agency's primary responsibility. I think the Attorney General's office is the one that will be trying that case. So, and the reason I think it, to me, it's really a fairness issue, is we have a number of retailers and we have a number of businesses in the state that make investments in brick and mortar, and they're investing in infrastructure in the state. And we just want to make sure that they have a level playing field versus out-of-state entities that are selling products, not so much services, but selling products in the state, to make sure that we have that level playing field to support their business interests.
And if we're successful in our efforts there, how does it stand to impact the work that you do and the work that's done in South Dakota? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the key to that is it's fairness. I don't think it changes the mission of our agency. I don't believe it changes our area of focus. It just level sets the playing field of all those that are selling products in the state of South Dakota. And hopefully we'll provide and should provide some additional financial resources to the state.
And I think that's what, listeners are expecting. You know, we've heard so much about it from the governor and, you know, from other state lawmakers, that there is an expectation that, times will not be as tough if that comes through. Are we expecting too much?
Well, I would always be conservative in my approach. You know, we don't know what that dollar impact will be. I still think it's appropriate for us to use every dollar very judiciously in the state. And what that number will be, I can't speak to and don't have a solid analysis of what that value could be. But, you know, I think South Dakota has been successful because we're seeing a greater interest in South Dakota in just the last 6 months to a year because of some of the fiscal challenges other states are having. And those states, due to those challenges, are faced with either significantly increasing taxes or severely cutting services. And because of South Dakota's management style, and I give compliments to all of our legislators in that regard, that we have a prudent business model that we are using here that's going to attract further investment going forward. And I'm really bullish on South Dakota's success in the next few years.
You were appointed in 2016, so you have a long experience in South Dakota, but not necessarily in this role in Pierre. In 2 years, and we're looking at the end of Governor Dugard's administration here soon, what do you feel like you've been able to accomplish in that short period of time? What are you proud of the work? You know, which work your department has done? Do you sort of look back and say, yep, you know, we were on track with that?
You know, it's a great question. I've only been here for about 18 months, but I would tell you this, is that I inherited a great team and people that are really passionate and care about doing what's right for the state of South Dakota. And naturally, what gets the headlines from our office is when we recruit new businesses and have successful expansion in that regard. And it really requires a team effort. It requires our marketing department to find the leads and find the people that are open to relocating in South Dakota. It requires a very strong finance division to manage the financial analysis and what resources we would be able to supply and support them with. And it requires a strong administrative team to keep all those areas of focus. And then a very strong business development and community development team. So I think everybody gets credit for those successes. And in 2017, we were involved in 42 different projects that generated over $700 million in capital expenditure additions to the state and expansion of almost 1,500 employees. So I think overall that's really the keys to our performance are those lagging indicators. And that's what I would point to as recent success. But we've got our foot on the gas because we want to increase that in 2018 and make that a much bigger number.
How do you do that? What needs to happen to sort of keep your foot on the gas? What needs to line up?
Well, one, that what I spoke with earlier is South Dakota is ripe for additional investment. And it's the leadership in the previous years that has created that opportunity. So part of strategic thinking is not necessarily what you will do, but being in position to take advantage of that opportunity. And these external impacts these other states, these businesses are facing, will create a winning value proposition for South Dakota. Now, what that then creates is, how do we reach out to them? And our marketing team is using some very unique tools, and we're going to actually have an RFP out for how to tell the story and get that story out about South Dakota to more businesses that are open to relocation and expansion in South Dakota. So that's kind of the big picture.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, as we look at, you know, bringing people in and telling our story, how do you tell the story to South Dakota high school and college students to sort of, you know, lean into their own state? Is that part of what we need to all consider, is not just about bringing new people here, but keeping and retaining and, you know, giving open pathways for our best and brightest right here in South Dakota?
You know, that's a great, great question. And I think that will be one of the additional benefits that will come out from Governor Dugard's career launch initiative, is when we can expose these young people to the businesses and opportunities in the state early on in their career, they will really have an opportunity to see what we can do and what they have the capacity to participate in going forward in South Dakota. So I think that is, you know, it was launched with the opportunity to create an additional workforce, but I think one of the additional benefits that will come out of that is what the students will see, that it will enlighten their vision about South Dakota and what can be done here.
Right. Figuring out ways to think, you know, to help them think strategically and with innovation as well. Know that they have a home and an opportunity to do those big things right here in South Dakota. It's always one of the great puzzles, right? Every state probably has that same conversation too.
True.
Anything else that is important to you that's pertinent that you think listeners need to know to really understand the work that you're doing or what's ahead for the state?
Probably the other final thing or follow-up is, you know, one of our agency's commitments is to assist communities to create plans for and support economic development. So we're driving as much information and more information out than we have historically, especially to those communities that may not have always full-time professional or economic development professionals on their staff. Well, we can get information directly to board members about how we can support growth of businesses in their communities, what programs and resources and tools that we have available to support economic expansion in those communities. So that's a real, it's a real effort on behalf of our agency to support that, and we're doing some new things to do that.
All right. How do people plug into that? Do they start online? Where do they begin that conversation? If you're listening right now and you say, what is out there? And we are having some struggles in our community. Where do they go?
Well, go to our website, SouthDakotaReadyToWork.com. And we have it broke down a lot of those components. And our community development, there's a community development piece there that they can connect with. And then they can sure make a phone call to our office.
All right, Secretary Scott Stern, thank you so much. We'll put a link up to that website, sdreadytowork.com, on our website after the program, listen.sdpb.org. Secretary Stern, thank you so much. Oh, go ahead.
I want to modify one thing.
Sure.
On our email address, it's ready to work. It's ready to partner. I'm sorry, SouthDakotaReadyToPartner.com.
Okay, South Dakota Ready to Partner. We'll put those links up on the website after the show. We appreciate your time. Come back anytime.
Thank you.